God has given us to listen to his word. And we know it is not by, you know, it's not by our effort. We do not take it for granted. Each and every day is a gift, something that we can praise God to, and just becomes part of us that the first thing that we do is to give glory to God, to praise him, to worship him, whether we are alone or with others. Once it becomes a culture, then there is no other way about it. Eh? It's just life. And it is from this that our life flows, and this is the source of all that we have and all that we are. And I pray that God continues to give us the grace. Yeah, so we carry on. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Yesterday we looked at the aspects of taking care of widows that are truly widows, and this is mostly administration, and looking at the classification of needs, you could see that it is necessary to identify the widows that are truly widows, but also those that have been worthy of service, those that have served the church, those that have taken care of strangers, that have raised you know, their families, raised them respectfully, they have washed the saints, the feet of the saints, and all these aspects indicate that there is a criteria to help indeed, because the church does not have infinite resources, and also people are expected to work with their own hands and to ensure that they provide for their own needs, and also relatives should, brothers and sisters, wives and husbands should take care of their own widows and not burden the church with it. Remember, this also was a church that was also heavily persecuted, that depended really on givings and even from the Gentiles and all this. So all this was necessary, and because order, God is a God of order, God is not a God of disorder. And as churches, we have a responsibility to have order and to put things in perspective. So today we'll carry on with the guidance of Paul to Timothy, and we will start from verse 17. And the Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scriptures say, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily or share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. Now, if you look at these aspects, it's more of clear guidance and direction that Paul is giving Timothy of how he must conduct the church. And one of the most neglected aspects that people do is actually taking care of their leaders and remembering the servants of God. And you can see how it says, let the elders, and the word elders here refers to church leaders. Remember when Peter is speaking to the church, he says, I write to you as a fellow elder. You know, he considers himself a fellow elder. So the churches, what they had, they recognized is that they had elders. The pastors were elders, the deacons were elders, the leaders were elders. So and even today there are denominations that use the word elders, elder this, just to highlight that, to be in point with clarity. So among the pastors, deacons, and you know, all these elders, whenever they're together, they are elders. It's a circle of elders that guide the church. But then the Bible is very clear that let them who rule well, or let those who govern well, or those who lead the church well, be counted worthy of double honor. And you remember, double honor is acknowledgement. And you see, as churches, even those that are given responsibility, you know, over stewardship of churches and all that, they must ensure that the leaders that they have are well taken care of, because at the end of the day, they are serving God. Remember, God is very concerned about his leaders. And even in the law, it was said that do not muzzle an ox while it is out treading the grain. That means that you've given this ox, this cattle, it's working hard, it is digging your farm, and yet you have closed its mouth that it should not eat. No. The Bible was very keen, God was very keen, that if an animal is working for you, you should not stop its mouth, you should not close its mouth, it should eat, it should be allowed to eat, it should be allowed to drink, because it is laboring for you. Now, God is not just concerned about cattle, but he's also giving it as a precedence for his servants. Now, Paul and his companion Silas, they had given them aware of this privilege. And you see, when he speaks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 4, he says, do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas and Peter, that is? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? So it is very necessary that if we follow the standard of Scripture, churches should take care of the needs of the pastors. It is not wrong for pastors to receive a salary from the church and to be able to take care of their families. It is biblical. And however, Paul and Barnabas had given away that right. That means they did not want to be a burden to the young churches that they were raising. Remember, they were going to plant churches. And what will Paul and his companions do? They will make their own tents. They will make their own money with their own hands. And he tells them, like the Ephesian church, he tells them, remember when I was with you, you know, I labored with my own hands. I did not eat anyone's bread or take anyone's water without paying for it. So he clearly did not want them to feel like he was dependent on them. But of course, there were other churches that from time to time, the church in Macedonia will send him support. The church in Philippians will send him support. So all these churches, the various churches that were keen to support, but others were still slow in it. But all in all, Paul did not exercise this right. But he is saying that it is a right. And the scriptures are commanding is that let the elders who rule well over us, who rule well over the church, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. You know, preaching and teaching is not, some people think, as a person just talks for 30 minutes or 1 hour and they are to be paid this much. No, there is a big labor that happens in the background. Before someone shares, they have done double. In fact, they say as a minimum, if you're going to speak for an hour, you should have prayed for a minimum 2 hours, double to that. You know, there is always a background. There is always a labor. There is always a study that goes in the background. And this is someone who is presenting themselves to God, who are, you know, taking time to pray, to oversee. You know, the Bible says that the shepherds that rule over you, that, you know, who are spending their time, who watch over the flocks, and, you know, they watch over you day and night. And at times, some of the protection that and the answers that come is mostly due to the leaders, due to the shepherds that God has placed over you. But then at times you find the sheep don't want to be shepherded. But God has always placed people under others such that they can be overseers over them, they can pray over them. And Galatians 6 verse 6, it says, everyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with their instructor. That means after the end of the day, when you have gone into that battlefield, remember David and his companions, when they were going to fight to recover all that they have lost from the Amalekites. Then there are those soldiers who are tired, and he left them behind. Then the few that continued, he went, they had great victory. And when they came back, then the guys who had gone into war said, no, we don't want to share any of the spoils with these ones who are tired, who did not go with us. But David made an ordinance today that the reward for those who go and those who stay behind will be the same. Everyone must get an equal share. And if you understand this, then you will know that even, you know, that those that labor, those that are missionaries, those that are serving God in the field, and even those that don't go, those that are taking care of the stores, those that are sending them with money, the scriptures are always keen that both shall share in the reward. So whenever missionaries are supported, whenever leaders are supported, their reward is also your reward. And so it is very important to know the principles. You know, it's sad when you find that some people, you know, some churches don't take care of their leaders, or they don't pay them, or they don't, you know, review from time to time what is it. And someone can be ministering to a big congregation, and yet they're not even able to, you know, to take care of their children, to schools, to good schools, and all this. And of course, the extreme is also there, where the churches, where the leaders have full authority over the money and over everything that comes in. And they're, of course, those who have maximized everything. They, you know, they take everything, and at the end of the day, the church is not able to move forward. But one of the things that practically anyone that has run a church will know, that many times the money, the tithes, the offerings that are given in the churches are never even enough to meet the needs of the church. And many of these leaders sacrifice from themselves. They give of their own, they give of their time, they give of their labor, and many times it is at a great expense. Many lose their children, many lose their own health, many lose their own homes. And you can see, for example, like this man Timothy here, he is already having frequent sicknesses, you know, frequent infirmities. He's being told, you know, his stomach is having frequent illnesses and his stomach. And so he's asked to not only drink wine, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake. That means he's being given it to him as a medicine. You know, at times people will say, no, the Bible says take not only water, but a little wine. But the question is it medicine? Is it, I mean, in their time, they didn't have all these medicines and paracetamol and all these drugs that we have. So whenever people want to make an excuse for anything or their lifestyle, they can always use the scriptures. But this is not a basis for permitting drunkenness or for permitting alcoholism. The scriptures are very clear. Do not be deceived. You know, all these people, immoral drunkards, will have no place in the kingdom of God. There are things that are already clear to God. If you are part of this, you will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, you can twist it, you can want to use whatever argument you want, but at the end of the day, the truth is the truth. It remains the truth. If you want to twist it, then you will one day come and hear that word, "I never knew you." You know, workers of iniquity, workers of illegalities. So let us stand firm and look at how he says how we should treat our leaders. He says the labor is worthy of his wages. And this is a statement of Jesus. Remember when Jesus sent his disciples to go into the towns two by two, and he told them, "Find a man of peace. And when you stay in that home, stay in that home. Do not live and fulfill all the ministry in that home." And then he say, "Eat whatever they give you, whatever they give you to drink. Ask no questions." He says, "The laborer is worthy of his wages." And this is a very important statement that you must know. When you have been called to labor in the things of God, and you have been sent, every labor that you do, the Bible says, you are worthy of your wages. There are things that God will ensure that you are blessed, the God will ensure that you are provided for. Why? Because you are a laborer. God is always concerned with laborers. When you've gone into ministry and you are received whatever they give you to eat, don't ask questions. Eat, partake of it. If once they have blessed you, that is your wages. The Bible says the laborer is worthy of his wages. So there are things that are acceptable, but of course there are times where God might instruct you not to take or to receive, and it is for you to know which is spirit and life, which is the walking with the Holy Spirit, the sensitivities of the day-to-day walking with the Spirit. That is why you must clearly know the voice of God when he tells you no, when he tells you yes, and you must learn to be obedient and sensitive to it. When you hear God, when you learn to walk with God like this, then even in the slightest moments, he's also going to be able to preserve you. Then we are given the verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. And then he says, those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all that the rest may fear. One of the biggest challenges of leadership is always, you know, backbiting, is always accusations. The moment you stand there to do the work of God, there is definitely going to be issues that will come. People will want to attack you. There's going to be backbiting. There's going to be false accusations. You are seen with someone and already, you know, things have gone out. And what are the scriptures saying? It's very keen. Do not take an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. The scriptures are very clear. Every matter must be established by two or three witnesses. So if you honor the servants of God, you must know that at times men are wicked. They will bring accusations of infidelity. They will bring accusations of rape. They will bring accusations of, you know, of corruption and use of money wrongly. But you see, these things are at times the traps and targets of the enemy. So many times, even online, whenever you see certain things come up against leaders, it is better to not comment. It's not better to be a partaker of certain things and share unless you have clear, first-hand information about it, unless you are a witness to it, and unless this is a matter that is brought by two or three witnesses. And that is why he's saying, do not even entertain it. Do not even allow it. But then it does not say that elders are excused from discipline or elders are above reproach. No, it is very keen that he says that if the elders who are sinning, those ones you have to rebuke publicly. Remember in our hierarchy of addressing issues, if you have a conflict with someone, call them, go and see them alone, try and resolve it together. If that does not work, then take two or three witnesses and go and speak to the matter. If the person does not work, then bring him before the church. And then if they do not listen to the church, then treat that person as an unbeliever and cast them out. So there is a hierarchy to all this. So there is no excuse for leaders to be, you know, doing their own things. He says, those who are sinning, you must rebuke in the presence of all so that the rest may fear. I think the people will always go like, oh, this is how people are chased away from churches and all that. But there are things that will impact the congregation, especially at the leadership level. When you've been accomplished or when you've been called, at least you've been given the grace to stand on the pulpit, then it is necessary to treat it with honor because it is a place that is going to be judged by God. It is a place that if we don't treat rightly, then we also block our blessings from God. So it's very necessary that we handle our elders with honor. We double honor them. We take care of them. We ensure that they are provided for. We also ensure that they are protected from just baseless accusations and false witnesses. But then when there is an issue, they also must be rebuked and must be rebuked, and they're rebuked publicly. So that is very clear because these are public people, and they also, if they have sinned, they also need to be rebuked publicly. And so verse 21, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus and all the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Timothy is told you have to be fair. You have to ensure that everything is done without partiality because it is necessary to be fair. As leaders, if you are not fair to across all, then you're going to land into trouble. You're not going to administer the justice of God. Look at the warning, verse 22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Now, this laying on of hands is not about prayer, but is about appointing of leaders. Remember when the leaders were appointed, remember when they say when the prophetic word was placed upon you and the leaders laid their hands on you, fight the good fight. So he's equally being told, do not be in a hurry to appoint leaders. Do not be in a hurry to give people responsibilities in the church, in that some people, when you do this, you share in the sins of others. Remember the already qualities of leaders that he was told earlier in chapter 3, you know, here on chapter 2, those who desire the office of a bishop, you know, should be, you know, should be husband of one wife, they should be temperate, they should know how to manage their household, their children should obey them, they should not be given too much wine. You know, they should not be involved in all these issues that are contrary to the word of God. And so he is told likewise also, do not be hasty, do not be in a hurry to lay hands on people. Even the deacons, before they are appointed, they must be tested. And after they have been found worthy, then they can be appointed. So leadership impacts churches. You know, the elders that you raise will impact the quality of the believers that you have. Some can be wolves in sheep clothing and will end up devouring the flock. So it is very necessary to take your time. Take your time until God reveals it to you that these are the leaders that are there that should be appointed. Even think about Jesus. He is God. On the earth, he was fully God and fully man, and yet he spends 12 hours. He spends the whole night praying before he picks the disciples, his disciples, and call them apostles, that they might be with him, that he might send them. So it was necessary, if it was necessary for our Lord and Savior to pray until he was sure of who to call, then it must also be necessary of us to take our time to observe, to see the outcome of life, to know their doctrine before we place our hands on leaders. So if we do that quickly, then we might share in the sins of others. And this is what the scriptures are warning. And of course, you can see it says that some men's sins are clearly before others. Others are hidden, but they will follow them later. So sins can be evident, others can be hidden, but at the end result of sin is death. So they follow them later still, even though they are hidden, they follow them to hell. But then also, we are told also good works, some good works can be seen, others cannot be seen, but at the end of the day, they all receive their reward. I'll stop here and I pray that God gives us more insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr.
Manuel. Thank you. Wisdom of respecting elders. I don't have any additions on my side. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've called us to know you, to understand your mind, to understand your wisdom, to be guided by you, to be led by you. May your hand of power, protection, and grace be upon us. Direct our steps, O God. Watch over us, be a shield, be our portion. Guide us, O God. We cannot make it without you. We need you each and every hour, each and every day. May your grace, power, and protection be with us. Be with our family members. We pray for those that are sick. Be with them. Touch and heal them, O God. Cover us, O God. And I thank you for our leaders. We remember them, O God. Pray for them, O God. Provide, help us to provide, to meet their needs, O God. And indeed, that Lord, watch over their families. Preserve them from attacks of darkness. Keep them safe, O God, and forgive us where we've spoken ill of our leaders. I pray even that for the wisdom to be slow in and to be clear in appointing of leaders, because it is you that wants us not to share in the sins of others, O God. I pray for anyone that is unwell, that your hand will touch and be upon them. Even as we go about to carry our various works, go ahead of us, protect and preserve us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.